works is we introduce ourselves, y'all introduce yourselves, give you 15 minutes to kind of give us an overview of the project, and then we may ask questions along the way. Department of Planning and Zoning may have comments, and then we'll also make some comments at the end and make motions as well. I'm Fred Marino. I'm an architect.
Sujit Misra, I'm an architect.
I'm Vivian Stone. I'm an architect as well.
Ethan Marchin, I'm an architect.
And I'm Larry Quark. I'm the only landscape architect.
Which is why we would like to have Bob here today. Yeah. But anyway, we'll turn it over to you guys. Introduce yourself.
Guys, I'm Nicholas Haynes. I work for the Department of Planning and Zoning.
I'm Val Lasdance. I'm a landscape architect, but also the planning director.
Thank you.
You feel alone.
So we'll turn it over to you all. You can introduce yourselves and then roll into an overview of the project.
My name is Mark Kelleher. I'm with Brookfield Properties, construction manager, project manager for the overall development that you'll be reviewing this afternoon.
Gordon Godet with JP2 Architects. We're the architect of record.
Scott Scarfone, landscape architect with Kimley Horn. We're the landscape architect of record.
And John Free with Studio H2G. We provided the design intent drawings.
Okay, great. We'll take it away and give us the overview. Take about 15 minutes or so, and we may ask questions along the way, or we may wait till the end.
Just a couple comments from ownership's perspective. The intent of our project here that you'll be looking at this afternoon is from a overall end product. The hospitality element of what you'll be looking at is something that we want to dwell on and improve with what the end product will be, increasing dwell time for customers, creating an activity environment where folks will be able to interact and spend time with the dwell element of things, enhancing shoppers' experience, creating a more 365-day-a-year type of environment in this plaza area, and trying to create a change in client practices in terms of traffic flow to create a different entering point, whereas currently the Starbucks entry is predominantly the place where folks go, and we find that that's where they stay. we want to kind of change that and get more attention to the other entrances and move folks around more so by what we've got in front of you today. So basically that would be the long and short of it for what you're going to be looking at today.
You want me to start?
Sure.
Great. I'm going to talk with my hands, so is it okay if I stand up away from the mic?
Yeah.
You guys are all hearing me okay?
So just for everybody's understanding, can you tell me where the Starbucks is again? Is it right by the Sears there?
So is right, the old you Sears? Were to go to the fountain.
Right, down.
Right.
Yep. That's yep. the entry. Yep. Starbucks is.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Yeah, so everybody knows where that is.
And the other entry is far plan right.
You need some mic.
Oh, okay, I can sit
here. Or you can carry it with you.
Let me practice. Let me practice with my aiming. Which one shoots here?
The star.
That center middle.
That center one.
Yeah.
The laser.
All right, I'll try to be steady. So, obviously, this is the existing conditions aerial, where there's a large fountain
right.
out front, right? And then there's staircases, and then this long promenade leading to one of the major entries. So what we're going to be talking about today is kind of the update the refresh to this hardscape plaza, as well as kind of engaging the center space with what Mark referred to as dwell spaces to give some stopping points and some attraction for guests entering this space. And I will say, just right off the bat, all these bioswales and green spaces are to remain. We're not going to touch them. We want to keep them, as well as all the artistic metal character sculptures. We're going to keep them in the plaza, but they might be rearranged in a slightly different manner. So you can see there's a dramatic addition of green space right out front. The idea is that this is going to be a multi-use, multi-function lawn space with a gradual slope. And so the goal here is that we could activate this for all four seasons, as Mark mentioned. Right? There's a possibility of inflatable screen on this slightly elevated stage space. So the viewing would happen here. You could have art fairs. You could have ice sculptures. We're talking, you know, four seasons of activity. Leaving a lot of the existing pavers, but along the way, we'll see these slightly, I guess, slightly covered pavilions, which are really like little living rooms where our guests and customers can stay along the journey leading into this updated entryway. There's this major trellis point we'll talk about here that provides some protection from the elements. And then we'll be talking about the entryways that are updated at each of the five locations. Scott, would you mind talking a little bit about the landscape?
Actually, so if you could back up one slide for me, I'll just go into some of those things. I know we've got 15 minutes, so we're gonna try and cover all 15 minutes. We have a lot of material to cover. So these are expansion of the existing planters. We'll simply be rearranging them. This planter will stay, some new planters here. This will be synthetic turf with some new trees that are added along here. So really the overarching concept is that this front space here will be the activated space that will be programmed seasonally with different types of activities. The interior space is meant to be more of a dwell space, a hanging out space, a more of an introspective space. Next slide, please. So with the trees, we know the trees are always a big issue everywhere we go. There is no net loss of trees. The trees will basically be a balance. We are going to be removing trees. Trees in the red will be are noted for trees to be removed, either because they are existing dead trees. There's actually a handful of dead trees that are out there now, or because the new design facilitates, you know, relocating some of the trees. But again, the net loss is neutral. So we're taking away 12 trees removed, 4 trees are dead. We're actually putting 20 trees back. So the trees that we're proposing are all the trees that are on site, honey locust, ginkgo, and we're adding some magnolias to add some flowering characteristics to the entrance, as you see there. Okay. And then these are just very quickly, these sections, I'm not going to go through these in detail. These sections were in the booklet that you have, but they're just to show you the slight elevation. There's not a ton of elevation change here, but just to show you relationships between the various aspects of the development. And there's a design vernacular that's already been established out there. We are pretty much going to follow with that existing design vernacular. We're really not talking about adding any new materiality to this, with the exception of the synthetic turf, which will be the open space in the center. Other than that, everything else that's out there, we're simply going to follow. And so these images here are all existing photographs of the wall materials, the paving materials. We're simply going to replicate those. We will be repurposing some of these steps. We will be repurposing a lot of these pavers. And then, again, the main thing that's new is the synthetic turf.
Which is green natural grass color.
Correct. It will be green in color, correct. And it will be of the latest technology of sports field athletics. We do a lot of sports fields in our office, so it will be that same technology.
Okay. So in touching the architecture, and Brookfield's desire to really upscale the quality of the center and make major planning moves here that really reinforce the master plans, the design neighborhood guidelines that are in place to create a community center. We can't make all those planning moves without upgrading the architecture of the center. When this was completed 7 years ago, and I can say it because I was the architect for that as well, it was on a limited budget. Tenants were directed to only do storefronts instead of facades. Mm. So as part of this overall experience of creating a high street, you know, high quality merchandising environment, tenant expressions now will be full building facades instead of just storefronts. So we'll be removing that EPIS band that's kind of continuous along both sides of the back there and creating buildings that go from pavement to parapet. I believe there are a little more information in there about materials, but the intent is high quality facades, high quality materials.
So as long as we're talking about structure, so those pavilions that we talked about along the way are, you can see, kind of provide a translucent roof screen, some fixed elements for seating, as well as flexible elements for seating that are going to be kind of restrained and tied down. But the goal is sit, dwell, observe the area around you, gather. There will be power provided, as well as lighting and even some greenery. This major trellis, it's not shown in context, but this is towards the far right side of the plan where we looked at. So before you enter the main entryway at the end of the promenade, you'll pass under this large trellis, which is a brand new structure. It has gutters contained into it, as well as some of the water flowing off into the existing bioswales. One of the pavilions is uncovered, the first one you arrive at, and really carries the same character. Something to look at here is the materiality. There's wood appearance, vertical slats, and that gets carried into some of the signs. There's actually some signage associated with this location for wayfinding, and you'll see that later on. Really, the goal is a really simple, limited palette that's holistic between the entrances, the signage, the pavilions, so it's one cohesive statement along the way. Here's some perspective views of those pavilions to kind of give a sense of scale. You see they kind of nestle up next to the existing bioswales. There's new pavers, you can kind of see that material on, it's like living room rugs underneath the seating areas, as well as some dramatic lighting fixtures in over those seating areas. And we'll talk a little bit about lighting as we continue. That was a great segue. I didn't even remember that slide. It was right there. So lighting, this is kind of the character and feel. A lot of the general ambient lighting in the plaza space, you can see in the upper left, will be kind of modernized. It's going to be, the glare will be kind of reduced from the design of the fixture. In paths, so areas between buildings, there'll be pendants hung with kind of a simple light frame around it. We're really interested in highlighting all that beautiful existing landscape with some accent fixtures that are lighting from below. And any space where there's a grade change, we're going to provide a glow at the step level to make sure, obviously, it's safe, and it actually kind of is interesting to see those grade changes lit up. Inside the pavilions, might not be that exact fixture, but something of that character where it's organic, woven, and a smaller scale to kind of humanize those spaces. Again, this just shows more lighting up some of the structure, highlighting the structure of the architecture, as well as really refined wall-mounted sconces. So up front, we talk a little bit about signage. The lower portion indicates where there's, this is the wayfinding signage. So a new Mall and Columbia sign, which will be backlit and halo lit on a new concrete wall, which is number one there. And we'll play the memory game to remember where A is, B is, C and D.
If I could just interject real quick there, what's important about this sign, I think, is right now there's a series of bollards that ring that road. I don't know if you're familiar with it, which kind of have not a very welcoming feeling to it. So I think this is going to help. Even though it's a wall, it's a low wall, so I think it's going to provide a more welcoming environment.
And during movie nights or when we're activating the space, it's going to block headlights from the parking lot, so people using that lawn aren't going to be, blinded by the light.
Right.
As long as people don't sit on it, right?
right, and that's important, right, to figure out what's the proper height to be safe. I think that I saw a question come up about anti-skateboard, any sort of details that come into so people aren't grinding their skateboards on the rails. I think that's going to be important. A little bit about back to signage. Again, A, B, C, and D that were on the previous page kind of integrated into the landscape walls with the vertical wood slats kind of containing space and providing a backdrop to the sign. There will be lighting thrown from the fixture on the signage onto the face of the sign.
So could you go back one slide, please?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I see what you're doing. Because I'm looking at the landscape plan, and it shows trees there. I see what they're, so they're right behind the wall then, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. So these are some character of signage. And then more signs. This is going to be more challenging. This is 1 through 6. But really, the takeaway from the signage is we're replacing one for one. So where there's an existing sign, we're replacing it with a new sign, just of a new character. It'll be the same scale, just new material palette.
So essentially, right, upgrading
the
whole signage package,
I'm
right?
Sorry.
So the whole signage package is being...
I got ahead of myself. This is mall entries. All 6 mall entries are being updated and refreshed. And the idea is currently there's a, as you can see the lower left-hand corner, there's a large space frame and a big sheet of glass. The goal is to bring the character down and kind of clarify where the entry is, as well as kind of modernize it a little bit with a composite metal surround. Again, those vertical wood appearance slats and kind of a perforated metal screen over the entryway that kind of gradually lightens up. So there's, and the idea is that's going to add some glimmer and sparkle from the inside lighting through that perforated metal to kind of add some interest in it and kind of.
So entry one on the left is into the center court at the rear of the space. Mm-hmm. Entry two on the right is adjacent to Starbucks into the carousel court.
Thank you. Yep.
Food court?
Yep, existing entrance to the food court and other entry. Again, you can see the existing space frame canopies out front.
Can you go back to the one where the food court is? What happens with the service door there? Go back to the new.
Yep. So, right, it's so conveniently cut off, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But you have a very nice wall art I can see there.
Yeah, so
it's still there, though.
It will need to stay for servicing.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yep. But you might consider where, you know, the graphic could cover the garage door.
Absolutely. That would be a really neat idea. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like that. So there's a dramatic change on entry three, right, where that whole space frame and columns go away, and we've mm-hmm. made a more cohesive statement for that whole facade. So it captures part of an existing storefront and part of an entryway. That one's a little bit different than the rest. Entry four, we've left the existing columns and proposed adding new structure and a different type of trellis overhead to get some of the shading. And the gradation pattern's reversed on this one on the storefront because there's existing spandrel glass, and the goal is to have the tenants visible from that plaza. There's some additional landscaping proposed there out in front. There's new planters in front of the storefront, as well as a couple as part of that giant plaza out front to kind of soften it up a little bit. Leading from the parking garage to entries what we call 5 and 6, the approach was instead of dressing up kind of this entryway, what about the path leading from the garage to the entryway to add some interest? Obviously, so it's, again, wood slats, integral lighting that would have wet location capability. And again, applying a gradation pattern to the windows and just a simple paint to the back wall surface to try to provide some depth. This is an existing conditions plan that probably should have been slide number two, but this just talks about, kind of to reiterate, the fountains are coming out and the green space is coming in. I gave you a little foreshadowing earlier about replacing the signage one for one, and this is that slide that shows that. So on the far left, you'll see the existing sign, and kind of column D shows same height, kind of about the same, similar width, but a new palette of materials to accomplish the signage. And then there's reference images to the entryway to show kind of how all those tie together. Again, kind of a different, slightly closer, more wayfinding sign. And again, a different plaza sign with a little character. So really just a perforated metal, a wood appearance slat, and then a dark color vertical element to set it off. Closer wayfinding, similar approach, just a different composition. And kind of in the parking lot area, signage, again, wood slats with a colorful backdrop. I think we all like the color up there. But just rearranging the composition to identify the area. And with that, did we come in under 15 minutes?
15 minutes.
That's fast.
Close.
Close enough.
I might have been speeding through.
We're not going to hold you exactly. Right. You did good.
And we certainly welcome your questions and comments and
sure.
Love to talk about it.
Yeah. I'll start with the. Oh.
So, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll keep it brief. I mean, the presented, you know, project was very concise and thorough. You know, the design team did a very good job relaying their, you know, their proposed updates to the, you know, this refresh of the mall. And the proposed updates are generally in keeping with the design guidelines that we have on record. But the Department of Planning and Zoning would like the DAP to potentially evaluate and make recommendations on the pedestrian circulation and connections to the surrounding land uses, you know, from within this plaza itself, as well as the concourse and stuff that they have proposed. If you could make recommendations, landscaping, you know, regarding the landscaping and furnishings, you know, proposed updates to the fixtures, perhaps comments regarding the plaza, outdoor entertainment area, and its orientation and placement.
And if you could make recommendations on the character orientation of the architectural elements, you know, that they have, you know, proposed updates to the mall itself, you know, as well as some of the, you know, architectural elements, you know, that are being incorporated into the site, such as the signage, you know, style and stuff like that. The EPC would like panel's input on these items, if possible. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So I'll start off by reiterating Department of Planning and Zoning's comment. I mean, I think this is a really nice approach to refreshing what was very successful years ago, and I think it's been pretty successful along the way, albeit it would be could be even more successful, as you've stated, by getting people to just sort of dwell in that environment more so. And I think architecturally the buildings, probably as you mentioned, you know, when you first did it, y'all weren't sure it was going to be successful. Well, I think it has been. And I'll go through and give you a few of my thoughts and comments, and then turn it over to my colleagues. I think one of the things that jumped out at me was the wall. I know being in that environment, because I live in the area and I go there frequently with my wife, what's kind of nice is how people can free flow into that space because there's no longer water in the fountain. They can literally just walk anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Now you're creating sort of a physical barrier for good reason, obviously, as you said, mm-hmm. for headlights, mm-hmm. to prevent the headlights, because you want to create a sort of a cinema experience or whatever it is we're going to do in this plaza space here with the screen and so forth. But I feel like the physical barrier, I'm not 100% convinced. I understand the reasoning why you're doing it, but I'm not sure, because what you're going to do is you're going to force everybody to just walk in the two pathways, and one of them happens to be right in front of a screen you're proposing. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's some more thought that has to go into how this is physically laid out, where the screen is. Do you really need the physical barrier if the screen's in a different location? Is it better to allow people just to circulate, you know, through the bollards onto a grassy lawn area? I mean, I'm not sure. My inclination was, again, you're putting this physical barrier, and people are going to be forced to either end of it to circulate into the space. And if you go there now on a busy Friday night, it's a free flow, which is kind of cool and kind of nice and not so rigid, right? My other comment about this space is you mentioned getting people to dwell in it. You mentioned you started out by talking about how it happens over there by Starbucks. Well, that's because Starbucks, you know, there's a reason that they're dwelling there. It's coffee, it's food, it's people movement, it's all of the action. But as you move further through this space toward a destination, which is to get into the mall typically, yeah, you're funneling through there, and there's no vendors or establishments other than Zoe's, which is kind of a midpoint or further down. Mm-hmm. You go down further at our house, I think, and the AT&T store. So there's no reason for them to hang out there, and I'm not so sure putting trellises there and doing all of the sorts of things you're doing will make them dwell there, to be honest with you. And in particular, there's one you showed, and I can't figure out exactly where it is, where you're doing slats down the side of the creating a wall, if you will, almost trying to create more of a room. And I wonder if you open it up, just do a trellis above, not with a vertical wall, it will help keep it more open in the area, particularly down at that one end toward the mall entry. The other comment, and I will commend you, because one of my questions was going to be about lighting, and I'm glad you guys brought it up, because that's a huge piece of it, right? And yeah. I think that could really create the sense of an environment, the type of environment you're looking to create in that space. So I'm glad you're addressing that. There was one other comment I wanted to make. Your signage. I think, you know, the original signage, part of the reason it's pretty successful, I think, is because you can read it. You know, in fact, if you look at the image you had on the wall there a few minutes ago, I'm trying to find it here, of the existing entry sign, says Mall in Columbia, and then you have it right beside the one you're proposing. Yeah. So, you know, look at the left. I can read that, and I can see it as I'm driving in, and I can see it from a distance. I would caution you to be careful in your endeavor to create a nice wayfinding element with architecturally on the right, that all of a sudden the lettering gets so small that it's difficult to read. And I noticed that in a couple of facts, even in the photograph on the far right there, I guess that's a sample of what you might be doing. It's almost impossible to read because the lettering is getting so small, you know. And as people are, and I think that's when you're driving in, not when you're walking, you know. So, and I know you probably have a graphic design team that's working on the wayfinding and the signing. So, I just caution you to actually maybe even do some mock-ups. You know, make sure you're getting the font large enough to be able to be read. Yeah. Otherwise, it's not going to be successful. And you really want to have good wayfinding because, as you all know, this destination has become very busy.
Mm. It's a traffic hazard.
On a Friday and Saturday night, it's crazy in there. So you want to make sure the wayfinding is, I like the white letters, most easily understood and readable. And also be careful with the backdrop against that white, because I think those are carved or they're cut into the metal. I'm not sure. Or are they literally white letters?
It's white letters applied with a solid backdrop.
But your
point, yeah, if you check the scale, it's about half the size, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point.
And
we should revisit that.
I want to jump in. Go ahead.
I
want to piggyback on the signage before we move on to other stuff. I, for one, don't necessarily agree with my colleague. I think your new sign is actually more compelling. It's a little more edgy, modern. And if I'm at the point where I see that sign, I kind of know that I'm at the mall in Columbia, right? And that's not the sign that's out on Brooklyn Land Parkway.
No, it is. This one, no, this is the one on the left, I think, is the one on Brooklyn. Is that the one at the entrance off of...
This is an entry sign.
Well, regardless, you're going to use the same thing at the mall entrances, I think, is the same sign.
And I guess where I'm going with this is this one, there's sort of an integrated graphic design approach to it. And when I look at the signs that you had in your internal muse, it kind of feels like there's a wayfinding sign that's stuck onto a piece, and it loses that sort of integrated design aesthetic. So maybe there's a way to address Fred's concern at the large scale, and then carry that same mentality into that personal scale and deal with it at a smaller, more integrated, kind of sensitive level when you're in that smaller scale space.
So like this, that sort of one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those are great observations. Yeah, absolutely. Should look at that.
Yeah. Well, this is the other package that we got sent. I don't think it's
That could be. Maybe that's what we're going
to. Yeah, because Nick sent this one out to us later. The additional signage and wayfinding package that we received. I don't know if you guys got that.
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. I didn't print it out. Yeah.
There was one other comment. Sorry, guys. On entries 5 and 6, which is the bridge coming from the parking garage, I feel like you guys are doing all this great stuff everywhere else, and all of a sudden I feel like you just kind of – and I know you probably don't get a lot of flow, except people who want to park in the garage during inclement weather, but it seems like maybe there's something else you could do there, and I don't know what it is. And one of the things I thought of was when I've used that entrance in the wintertime, you know, it's a long ways to walk, from the garage to the entrance to the mall. Is there something that you could do that's consistent with the architecture that you're doing at the other entrances that maybe gives you more of a protected covering? And I think that this pavement is probably heated. That's why in the wintertime it tends to, the snow melts on this bridge, or I guess, I don't know. But it never seems to accumulate snow, or they take care of it.
No, they just take care of it.
Maybe they take care of it.
Yeah, I don't think.
Yeah, it could be. Because, I mean, it's just a matter of on the wet days when it's raining and you've got to walk in that distance. But then again, you're walking from a parking lot to the main entry. So I don't know. It just, architecturally, I feel like there's a different character there that maybe is not consistent with the other entrances and what you're doing.
Yeah, I would agree. Since we're on this slide, I was wondering whether you might consider planters at these, arches or whatever you're talking, calling those, and then they may have vines or something that start to, grow up onto that and kind of soften the view of it, or maybe even colorful banners or something. It just looks very sparse compared to what you're doing on the other side. I mean, when you're on the road below and you look up, it is very interesting architecturally, but I think making it more of a green bridge, not going overboard, but, just introducing maybe colorful planters and things at those pergolas that are on there now, just to allow them to be more green.
I was thinking even something more sculptural that's a little more interesting, like the... maybe it's just an off-center pitched roof, like what you've got over your pavilions. And maybe, to Fred's point, having some of that translucent glazing over to provide protection.
Yeah.
Or even a trellis with the semi-covered space,
And it wouldn't have to be continuous, but maybe in the same places you've got, you just make it a little more interesting.
Yeah. Is this intended to be a different species of wood than you're using elsewhere? Because it's rendering as more of a blonde type wood, which might be something that's just creating that difference. That
could be.
This actually came from a lot of the in- interior is being redeveloped as well. And we have a similar situation, right, with different bridges. And the Woodlands side is slightly lighter. Not to say that it has to be, but that was the origin of why it's the show of the lighter wood. But I love your guys' recommendation. I mean, this is great. Like, this is wonderful. Yeah. I like the idea of adding protection. And if it is outside, maybe it should match the rest of the outside wood, right? And add some green space to soften it up. I think these are
the favorite pedestrian bridge I have in the county is the one that crosses 29 in the mall area. It's illuminated at night. It has this green and blue. I'm not even sure if it's
an arch one.
Yeah, it's arched. Mm-hmm. But it's when you go north or south on 29, it's the major pedestrian. I guess it connects Oakland Mills with the mall area. But I mean, that's different, but it just makes it special. And it really catches your eye, and I enjoy driving by it every time I do, whether it's daytime or evening.
Yeah, they actually did some interesting things with lighting on there.
Yes, it just
which,
glows.
Which maybe you could look at the lighting, even do a night shot of what this would look like. Right. It might be something different. One of the things I also just remember that walking through the promenade, I don't recall a lot of furnishings there, and I know over the years, not just this particular location, but people have a tendency, or owners have a tendency not to want to put furniture in these spaces because they get stolen, mm-hmm. it gets trashed, it gets mm-hmm. beat up, it requires maintenance. Mm-hmm. Are you literally going to put the furniture in the space that you're showing in the renderings with
yep.
soft seating and
yep. yes.
you'll have a maintenance program to maintain all of that? Okay. I mean, I think that helps people dwell there.
That's
if you
the,
do
the
that.
Intent behind
right.
the dwell.
Right.
And we are committed to creating that environment, the hospitality,
yeah.
taking it to a 4 or 5 star type of reception area to create that. We've the product mixtures these days that are on the market are you know far superior than they've been in times past for this type of use, and
mm-hmm.
and Brookfield Properties is committed to creating that type of environment, in ensuring that you know it's attached, that it's from a security standpoint looked after and cared for.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not seasonal. As we get into fall and winter
correct.
Here, it would still remain out there.
Correct.
Correct. And I know they have weatherproof cushions and things, but I guess I see that more in California. The last 2 months here was perfect because it was dry and,
right.
and sunny. But in our wet weather, if you think it'll work, then fine. But
yep.
it's
yep.
Any other comments?
No. I was just kind of piggybacking on you taking the lead. I forgot to say the things as you're bringing them up.
Yeah,
I'm going to step on Larry and Larry's turf a little bit, I think. And you're taking trees out in the promenade area that have died. You're putting new ones back in there.
Yeah.
Is there a risk that the new ones are going to die as well? I mean, do we know why those ones died in the first place? And is what we're putting back more hardy or more suitable for that environment?
Are the soils going to be enriched or the drainage? Have you looked at the substructure?
Yeah, we'll absolutely look at all that. You know, it's interesting that the trees that died are in a cluster.
At the one end there.
At the one end. Yeah. So, you know, why they died, I mean, that's actually a famous question my college professor would always tell us. You're always going to get someone to ask you, why did that tree die? And you're going to have to look at it and tell them immediately why it died. So we haven't got to the point where we've determined exactly what happened, but it is interesting that those three trees are a cluster. And they are honey locust, which are one of the most durable street trees that you can plant in an urban environment. And there are other honey locusts in the same plaza that have survived and that are thriving. So that leads me to believe that there's something in that general area that's happening. We haven't got to the point where we've investigated why, but we will certainly be enriching the soil and taking precaution to make sure that those trees do well. And that's why we picked the trees that you see up there, not only because they're there. Actually, Chuck Shaw did the original plans, and he was a very good landscape architect. But we want to make sure, you know, we have good trees that are going there. So we will absolutely look into that.
You know, maybe the stone base was too shallow. Maybe the root ball didn't get its proper depth. There's a variety of you know, means and methods that may have taken place during the original construction that would have led to some kind of failure of that nature. You know, we won't know until, you know, we've done that forensic research, so.
Okay, well, some other comments or questions?
I have a question about the artificial turf. So why did you choose that product? Is it because because of the durability, the drainability, the maintenance?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So,
but all the surrounding green areas are natural, right?
Yeah, so there's a number of reasons. So if you follow the trends that's sort of happening with these types of entertainment centers in urban areas, mm-hmm. the trend is to go to the synthetic turf for all those reasons. Mm-hmm. But also the new synthetic turf that's out there on the market right now is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. It looks realistic, and most people that look at it superficially don't even know that it's synthetic mm-hmm. turf. So we're going to be using the most cutting-edge synthetic turf technology that's out there. It's actually the same technology that a lot of the higher-end colleges are replacing, mm-hmm. even the older turf. So a lot of these synthetic turfs, just within the past 5 to 10 years, a lot of these colleges and universities have actually replaced their previous synthetic turf fields with the new synthetic turf. Mm-hmm. So it's just more durable. It's easier to maintain. But if we're going to be activating this space, you know, having festivals and mm-hmm. pavilions. And
that's where I were going. If we're afraid of three trees dying, then if we're utilizing that lawn area to the degree that we hope that it is going to get used to, it's going to be mud if it's not mm-hmm. otherwise done correctly. And we'd rather do the upfront expenditure of the purchase of the high-end type of synthetic turf that we're going to specify and put in place there that is long-term and less maintenance down the road.
Yeah, so I've seen the latest and greatest, and they do look amazing, but one thing I'm concerned about is it's evergreen, and the natural lawn around it is going to pale in comparison. Have you thought about using ground covers or something other than lawn in the other green spaces
so that
they're not competing with each other?
Yeah, so there will be no other natural turf.
Oh, there won't be.
Area.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
The planters that are surrounding it will all be with other types of plant material, either durable evergreen, probably mostly durable evergreen ground covers. We're probably actually going to follow the same palette that Chuck established, you know, 20 years ago with mm-hmm. very hardy, durable mm-hmm. evergreen material.
Okay.
Yeah, I think today is the perfect example. If there were a concert planned for tonight, it would have been canceled.
Yeah.
With rain stopping at 5, the show would be on.
Yeah, sure. Well, there's no way you would be able to maintain a lawn panel there with the activities you're planning.
Yeah.
So I'm not against it. I think it's a great idea. I've seen it successfully done just this weekend in Arlington and then also in Silver Spring. So
Silver Spring, yeah.
It's very good. Mm-hmm. It's a little odd that it's that green in the winter, but I think most people, you know, they would look past that.
And the other quick, I just want to address a quick comment that you made about the stage. We go back to mm-hmm. the screen, if you will, that we're going to be using
mm-hmm.
is actually going to be an inflatable
mm-hmm.
product. So the stage, right, was designed to be as a performance stage. So the inflatable screen will only be up there for weekend events, and then it'll be taken down.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we're trying to build in flexibility for
mm-hmm.
programming for the client so that when, you know, if they don't want to have a screening performance, they can have a live band or a
mm-hmm.
small band that operates on that elevated stage right there.
Or your ice carvings that we're talking about, just the variety of the flexibility that could take place.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask about the placement of the performance stage. It really is right next to the main drop-off area there. Did you consider moving it to where the, just to the right where it says A and C with the trees?
The dead trees?
Yeah. What's that?
Where the dead trees are.
Where the dead trees
are. Yeah, I was thinking about that.
I mean, because with music and if it's a screen with a movie going on, I don't know how the sound system will be set up, but I've gone to these during the summer, and it's really key that you be able to hear, and you do have all the people moving back and forth there since that's a main entry into the mall there now. So I don't know if that would help, but right there where it's at the edge of the sidewalk just seems like it might be a conflict, you know, with the vehicular and pedestrian traffic right there.
Yeah, that's why I made the comment about the wall, which is the Mall of Columbia, where the stage is, and that whole sort of circular. There's so many pedestrians in that whole zone right now. I just think – I agree with Larry. I think that needs to be looked at and studied a little bit more, and I would question whether or not you can't walk – down the sidewalk and right in front of the stage or the screen like that, because it will be potentially dangerous. If there is a screen, and granted it's an inflatable, but there's a movie going on and there are people sitting there watching the movie, even though the stage is elevated, I'm assuming two steps, probably 6 to 7 inches apiece, that's only a foot up in the air, so mm-hmm. you're going to be walking right in front of the movie screen, you know, and there's going to be people that are there to watch the movie, and they're like, oh, I can't believe all these people are in front of me, you know what I mean? So I think that was one of the comments I made. I feel like this whole thing, that whole area might want to be thought about a little bit more, maybe, and I'm sure you guys have done it. Go there on a Friday and Saturday night and see what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Sit there and watch. It's a lot of people and a lot of circulation, and you're trying to push it all out to the edges with the wall where the trees are there. And I understand. I think we all understand what you're trying to do.
Yeah, on the other side of the coin, I do understand that if I had my kids there, my kids are grown, but my grandchildren, it would be nice to know that there's a wall there and they're not going to run out into the street.
Agreed.
So that does serve a nice purpose. And the other thing is, with everybody moving, from the parking lots unrestricted now, it's almost a dangerous situation because there's no designated crosswalks or anything.
I think
to all of your points have been thought about, and there are very astute points, right?
Yeah.
So I'll try to address them to the best that I can.
Okay.
So first with access. So both of these access points are aligned with existing crosswalks.
Right. Okay.
So we really wanted to, I don't want to say corral, but I mean we wanted to focus people mm-hmm. on the existing crosswalks.
Final, I'm sure.
Because there's infrastructure that's already in place over here that are crosswalks to get people. So we wanted to get people to utilize those and take advantage of those. So in terms of entering, and I think an earlier question was pedestrian circulation, right? So we have pedestrians that can come in and circulate this way, right? We have pedestrians that are coming in this direction, mm-hmm. right? We have pedestrians that are coming in this direction and coming up this way as well. So people coming from down here, people coming from across here, people coming from across here. I agree with you. Right now, I mean, it's a free-for-all. Mm-hmm. I mean, in one aspect, that's a nice mm-hmm. thing to have, but in another aspect, it is dangerous mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it's a complete free-for-all.
Isn't there a valet drop-off over here, and then so you can enter, I think, over this side
and
here.
And some handicap parking there as well.
And valet, right, yeah, and then this is, people can drive here and drop off.
Correct, mm-hmm. correct.
So,
right.
Yeah.
So have you thought about switching to other direction where it is CCC is to the screen right there?
No, we did not look at putting that over there.
The main issue with the screen is, right, people walking in front of the screen, and you're right, it is only on 2 feet, but that screen starts another 4 feet off the ground from that.
Oh, does it?
But that doesn't alleviate the issue. If you're sitting on the lawn,
mm-hmm.
someone walking in front of you is blocking 8 or 10 feet of the screen, right?
But you do have a slight grade change as you come up towards what would be season 52 in that set of stairs.
But
it does climb.
Your point is well taken.
Yeah, I mean, we
moving people through there.
We talked about that, and I think, will be people that will try not to walk in front of the screen if you've ever been to these kinds of events, and there will be people that walk through there, and that's just the nature of these outdoor events. Mm-hmm. People are free-flowing and they're moving, and that's just part of it. We did not look at the stage over here. There's some grade changes that happen over here that would mm-hmm. make putting the stage and nestling that in here problematic. We were trying to maintain this existing wall and part mm-hmm. of this existing planter. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of a blending of how far do we go to make changes and where do we kind of nestle it into the existing fabric.
I kind of like Sujit's idea, though, of putting it there.
So I don't know that we're going to solve it here with you tonight.
Yeah,
I think all we need to do is give you our thoughts. You got to go away and think. And it sounds like you've already thought about it a lot, and you all know all the issues. And the reason I brought up this, and I know you probably don't want to spend the money, but you might want to look at, does this still make sense as a vehicular? This seems to be the conflict right here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you can come in over here, and I think you cut across over here, and then there's there's handicap and valet, so you could avoid potentially.
Yeah,
existing
conditions.
You can't really.
Oh, you can't see it.
Yeah, you can't see it.
Okay.
Because I think, I can't remember. I think this cuts across
over
here.
I mean, isn't that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but if that could become less less vehicular, and I don't know how you do that other than it doesn't become vehicular, or it's only emergency.
Right.
It's very vehicular right now, very dangerous because of all the points you said, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe you guys go back and study it some more. I don't think we're going to solve it here tonight. But we appreciate you guys looking at it and thinking about it, because I agree, it is a there's a lot of people flowing through here. The good thing is the cars that come through here seemingly go very slow, but there's quite a few vehicles that come through there.
Oh, the other thing I failed to mention is we're actually there's no curb right here now.
Right, to lay
it's
down.
It's a rolled curb.
Yeah, yeah.
We're putting a 5-inch curb in here.
Okay.
I don't know.
So I think we're at the point. What we'll do is we'll make motions, and then you guys can go back and look at those the motions we make.
I just had one. It really isn't a design comment. I hope the packet could. When I went to, there was no overall plan until like page 25, and then I'm not at the mall as much as my colleagues apparently, because I just had a lot of trouble for the first half hour when I was there. Where is this?
Yeah.
So just having like Maggiano's or Seasons 52 labeled would be very helpful. Lord and Taylor, Penny's. Whatever, just because when you look at that overall, I just had a hard time getting oriented. I had to like go to the roadway to see where the crossover was over Little Patuxent Parkway, saw the Merle Lynch building, and then backtracked from there trying to figure out where I was.
Yeah, I apologize for that. We should have done some better.
Yeah, and just because this is going to be reviewed by a lot of others, and I think it might be helpful to have an overall plan up front, like page 2, 3, or 4.
I just had a quick comment about your pavilions. It looked like your glazing on the roof was clear.
Mm-hmm.
It might be nice to have a little tint to it because it gets really hot.
Yep.
I mean, if that's going to be a shelter, you probably don't want to be right underneath the clear.
Yep, absolutely.
But I like it. I mean, I think it's going to be nice. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that Starbucks is right there might kind of activate that space, actually. I mean, there's not a really nice outdoor seating area for Starbucks, so...
Yeah, it's just draw the attention for any future growth. It's a really nice area.
There's also the restaurants over there, which is really creating a sense of right over. Well, there's those restaurants, right? Season 52 and Maggiano's, but over here you got the Mexican restaurant,
right?
Uncle
Leo's.
Uncle
Leo's.
This has really become a dwell area over here for sure. All right. Does anybody want to make the first motion so we can?
I don't really have anything they need to come back for.
Okay. Well, I think I'll just make the first motion that you go back and study that front entry drop-off area, the wall, the screen, the stage, pedestrian safety and circulation relative to vehicular circulation, the pinch points, all of that, the whole front area that we talked about. Go back and take another look at it and see if you guys come up with any new ideas or thoughts. And how to address some of the things we talked about. Although, anybody want to second that motion?
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye. And I'd like to make a motion regarding entries 5 and 6, that you look at that a little more. Those are the pedestrian bridge accesses on the other side of the mall. And just some ways to enhance that and make them a little more inviting and not so sterile.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I'll make one other motion that the entry where the food court is, whatever you can do or think about doing on that garage door, which is the service door, since you're already doing all that other nice stuff, if you can just wrap the corner there somehow and screen it, something. It's always stuck out in my mind as something that, is so inconsistent with the rest of that entrance, and particularly with what you're doing to spruce up the entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Would probably make that a nicer entry sequence. Anybody want to second that?
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody else?
No.
Ethan, nothing.
I don't know. Okay. I think it's a huge improvement.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
it's
just refreshing, and no pun intended, refreshing to see such attention to detail and high quality materials. So it's really good. My first reaction was they're refreshing it. It's not that old. So
I know.
It's nice that you're so proactive.
Retail moves.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. That's all we have.
You'll see
the minutes from tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much. This was really valuable.
Okay.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for arranging. Should I just leave this as is?
Hang on, guys. We haven't adjourned the meeting.
Oh, we did. Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Brett, I wanted to let you know I won't be at the next one. I'm going to be out of town. So I did let Nick know, but I just wanted to let you know, too.
Nick, do we have any other items on the agenda? You said some other business? Or
There is a meeting on the 30th. I sent you guys the stuff right before I came downstairs here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you guys have the materials? Okay. I'll mail the others. I'll prepare the staff report. You'll hopefully get that early next week.
30th is, you know what? I'm not going to be here for that meeting either, but I'll send you a reminder.
Okay, perfect. That's, as long as I need a quorum, that's what we need. Also, Sujit and Ethan, we did a training with the panel. It's been a while because we haven't had a meeting in a while. Kristen O'Connor would like, if you guys are attending the next meeting, just do a quick run through with you guys. And we have examples and stuff of past projects that you guys made comments on and stuff. And, you know, just showing the progression that you guys are making and the impact you guys have. It's half a refresher, thank you very much for the work that you guys do. We appreciate it very much.
So that you can do that on the meeting on the 30th? Then?
Yes.
Okay. So hopefully both of you can make the meeting on the 30th.
If you guys are able to attend, I know Kristen would love to do that with you guys because you guys missed out on the last one. That's
it.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, meeting's adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.